Hi everyone, and welcome to the No Code SaaS podcast, where three indie makers discuss our journey building SaaS products without code. I'm Kieran, aka No Code Life, and I'm building Yep.so, which is a super fast landing page builder for launching and testing ideas.
Hi there, and I'm James. I'm building a Shopify app called UserLoop that helps Shopify stores collect customer feedback.
Excellent. Nice to see you, James. Unfortunately, Glenn can't make it this week, so it's just the two of us, and it'll probably be a shorter episode than normal because we don't really have any big discussion topics. So should we just dive right into updates? James, do you want to go first?
Yes, sure. Yeah, so yeah, I've had a more marketing-focused week or two, I suppose. So there's been a couple of big things that I was working on. So rejigging all my Shopify ad campaigns, which seem to be performing a bit better. I also improved all the tooling I have around monitoring my onboarding flows to try and increase the paid conversion from the people who were coming on the trial, and trying to reduce quick uninstalls of the app as well. Through where I've worked out a few common problems that were causing people to churn. And I also finally did a product, which is the product as well. So I kind of left it quite late, given it's been out there for a year and a half. But yeah, it was good to get that done. It wasn't a particularly massive launch, and I wasn't expecting it to be, really. I think it was more a case of I wanted to get it out there, do all the video content and other stuff around it. But I wasn't expecting a ton of signups off the back of it, really. It was more of a on the checklist to do, but I did end up getting quite a lot of nice comments when it did go live. And I've also taken the chance to completely redo all of my Shopify App Store listing page. So I've redone all the visuals, all the screenshots, all the copy, and that seems to be making a nice kind of difference too. So flipping back into features a little bit now, just based on those things I learned about there are some things that customers were obviously uninstalling for and not going through that sign up flow because things just weren't quite right on a few of the features. So I'm just doing tweaks for that now, really. But I'll be getting back into kind of feature stuff over the next week, but still mixing it in with marketing.
Sounds like a very busy couple of weeks, including a product hunt launch, which I think for a lot of people would be of the event of the year, maybe. So for the updates you made to the landing page and the ad copy, were you basing that on any kind of data or science, or was it just a feeling, this ad copy doesn't quite describe what I'm doing, or I've thought of a better way to articulate it?
Well, largely it's been based on the survey responses I've got myself through the sign up flow in the app. So when people install it, I've been asking, what are you planning to use it for? Why did you install it? What do you want to get out of it? All these kind of things. And I was really trying to take that messaging that people were saying there and reflect that more on the actual listing page to try and, so maybe not talking so much about things like about the technical features like running surveys and how many questions you can do and all of that kind of stuff, but more bringing it back to what the actual benefits were that people were wanting to get out of it. So, you know, people who installed it said they wanted to know what marketing channels had sent people to their store. They wanted to be able to find out when customers' birthdays are so they can send them discounts. They wanted to be able to have customers upload videos of them unboxing the product, all that kind of stuff. So I've tried to tweak some of the messaging back around to being a little bit more benefit focused than so much kind of feature based. But yeah, all of that learning was really taken out from the sign up flow in my app where I kind of asked those questions.
That's great. I mean, it sounds like you're doing so many good things that are really in the playbook in terms of like actually gathering data and knowing when your conversion rate is improving rather than just having to kind of guess at it, and tracking people's behaviors when they go through the onboarding. And I think reducing that early churn is such a big win, a big and fairly easy win for most SaaS products, which a lot of them, I think, don't put any focus really in on onboarding at all. But actually, if someone's gone to the trouble of installing your app, then they had hopes for it. And if they immediately uninstall it, then those hopes were clearly not met, from at least from the initial look at it. So yeah, I think it's
definitely
the easiest way to increase your MRR or decrease churn is to get those people.
Yeah, and I haven't released it yet, but I am changing the packaging of the pricing plan slightly as well, based off of some of this learning over these past few weeks. So up to now, on the free plan, you could only ever ask one question, but that turned out that it was actually driving a lot of people to just uninstall the app right away because they didn't feel they were really even able to try it. So I've tweaked that a little bit as well. So I've bumped up the number of questions that are included on the free plan. While there's still a lot of features limited, obviously, I do want to give people the opportunity to properly try the product for free, because it seems it was driving quite a bit of just instant uninstall, which I obviously don't want. Like, you've gone to all that trouble of paying for an ad or like doing all this content to get people on the marketing site. So you kind of want them to experience the product and really see what it's all about without just uninstalling it for something that's, you know, doesn't really cost me much to change that. So all the other features are still limited, but just a slight tweak on the packaging. And that coincided with bumping up the number of included questions on all the other plans. So that's not released yet, but I'm going to kind of draw a line in the sand when that's released and measure before and after what the uninstall rate was and the time to uninstall as well. And a massive change actually that was since we last spoke. We have kind of touched on it previously, but I really went to town with properly putting this in. Was I've put Mixpanel in across the entire application for pretty much every action, and it's taught me an unbelievable amount of stuff. I think the thing with the app was it had gotten to such a scale with so many, I think it's doing like a million workflows a month now or something like that. And I just didn't really know what was going on a lot of the time. Like, so I didn't know what the response rates were, and I didn't know how far people were getting through the funnel. And like, like we've said before, I've watched replays, but that gets to a point where that wasn't really giving me like an accurate view, because there's just so much going on, it was hard to track. So I put Mixpanel on pretty much every action in the app now, and I have some really, really, really good dashboards that have taught me a lot about, you know, how people are using it, and also are really useful operationally, just to see how the app's performing, how surveys are converting, you know, if everything's running smoothly. So it's given me a lot of visibility there. So that's been a really good benefit.
Okay. That's still on my to-do list. Is Mixpanel the one that's free?
It is free, yeah. It's free based on a limited number of users and dashboards that you create. But I found they have a startup program that I applied for and got accepted immediately. So I guess it's automatic, where you get a year's free, unlimited everything, basically. And then after the year, I think I worked out my billing was going to be about $30 a month, which kind of feels worth it, actually, after, you know, putting the effort in to do it. I think the thing that was interesting about the way I implemented it, actually, is I've done it all just using back-end workflows. So I didn't want to have any of the Mixpanel stuff on the front end, really, because it wasn't super accurate from what I was reading. Like, a lot of the ad blockers and stuff just stop it from working completely on the front end. So It's all done through the back end workflows that just ping off an event to Mixpanel when certain things happen. So, you know, it's like very accurate data that you're looking at, because it's not getting blocked anywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's been really good.
Okay. That's excellent. Again, learning a lot from you. So I was thinking about the pricing thing just yesterday, or in terms of what you should offer on your free plan, because obviously I've got a free plan for Yep, and I was at this point when hardly anyone was converting, and then good old Mark Bowley said to me, well, you know, the main benefit you're giving for the paid plan is that instead of one, or initially it was three, you get three published pages on the free plan, but then I reduced it to one, which still seems like enough. And then he said the only benefit you're really giving is more pages, but maybe maybe most people don't have lots of ideas they want to make pages for, but maybe they want to make their one page better. So maybe you should be focusing on actually giving just kind of advanced features for those pages. So that's kind of what I'm now moving towards, because I haven't done the stats, but I'm going to guess that most people only have one page published. So there are a few with more. But one thing I signed up for yesterday is blackmagic.so. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's made by this indie maker, Tony Din. And it's a Twitter, it's like a Chrome extension, but also there's a mobile app, and it's just for Twitter, and gives you like loads of analytics, but also some really cool features in terms of like you can post and schedule and stuff from it. So I signed up for it, and I went for the paid plan immediately just because it sounded much better, but it's only $10 a month. So there's a free plan, which has like way less features. And then I signed up for it, and then it said, you're on the professional plan for 14 days. And I was like, oh. So he gives you this, without you even asking for it, he gives you all the features for 14 days. And then it's just going to downgrade me to what I'm actually paying for. So I don't know which of the features I'm using are going to go away, but I am enjoying using all the features now, and I'm seeing them all there. And as you know, in 2 weeks' time, some of those things are just going to go away, and all of a sudden I'm going to be like, oh, actually I really missed that. So I thought that was just a genius way of getting me to try out everything. And the fact that I'm not even sure what is going to go away is, you know, worrying, and makes me think that I might end up just splashing out on the professional plan.
And that is very interesting. And there are just so many different approaches you can take with this, with the pricing plans. And it's one of those endless kind of topics, isn't it? It's like whether freemium or free trial period, or it is one of those ones. It seems to be a different formula is right for different businesses. I don't think there is a one size fits all. You've got to try different things, haven't you, to see what really works for your target customer.
Yeah. And they always say you should be experimenting with pricing and not feel bad about experimenting, but it is still quite daunting, because if you put your prices up, then you feel like, you know, that's going to affect demand, or people might be put off by it. But if you put them down, then it's going to annoy everyone that paid more than that before. So yeah, it's constantly a bit of a stressor, and not really something that I enjoy playing with. But the reality is that your paying customers are probably not going to keep checking the pricing page to see how much new customers are getting charged. And even if they saw it was different, I don't think they'd particularly be bothered.
No, I totally agree. I think if I think ourselves are products you sign up, once you've signed up for it, you kind of forget about it unless you want to unsubscribe, really. It's the only reason I would think about it again. No, but that's a really interesting point. It'd be great to hear about your updates, actually, because I've seen looks like you've had a really busy few weeks, and there's been some exciting developments from what I've seen.
Well, remind me if I miss anything out, because I can't remember what I covered last time. But yeah, I've got I don't know what MRR was on last time, but it's like I'm at like £257 now. And a couple of those, so I think last time I had definitely had one community paying monthly. I've now got two paying monthly, and I've got a couple of leads. So I had one call last Friday with another community manager, and then I've got one this week as well. And I did actually put the prices up in between the conversations, just as I get a bit more confident. So yeah, that's cool. Like the whole B2B side of things, which yeah, it's a lot easier. And the people I speak to, they seem to get it, and they understand the struggle. And it's good because I can talk to them from the point of view of a community manager, because I did have an online community for a short while. And so I know the struggle of like getting people engaged and things like that. So I can speak from experience, and I quite enjoy doing the calls because everyone's always like super friendly. And I do like live demos of the product, and I actually feel kind of confident about doing it, which is, you know, cool. And it usually works. So that's good. So I'm always like excited to show them, basically. And I think they can sense the enthusiasm. So yeah, that's been good. I've decided to change the focus slightly, because I've decided to remove the word validation. I don't know if you noticed, but when I did my intro, I did not say an idea validation tool, because I tweeted like a couple of days ago about idea validation, and one person, let me just get his name so that I can, yeah, so I can give him credit. So Joe Benjamin replied to my tweet saying a lot of technical founders won't even spend time on sales and marketing after they built something. So they'll definitely skip validating the idea, and it can be scary for some people. And he said he reckons 10 to 20% of makers try to validate their idea. So, and I was thinking, yeah, that's totally true, because I never used to like validating, and I shied away from the word validation at all chances. So I was thinking, I'm just going to remove the idea that it's about validation, and it's just going to be about launching your ideas quickly. I'm going to say testing ideas and launching them quickly, but I'm not going to say validating, because I just think that's a word with negative connotations. And yeah, so we'll see how that goes. And the other thing I did was I did a little thought exercise the other day, because I was trying to think, like, you know, we're supposed to be trying to add as much value as we can to our customer base. And I was thinking, what do my customer base really want? Like, as I just said, I don't think they want to validate their ideas. So I think a lot of them are first time founders or have never founded anything before. They don't quite know where to start. And so one thing I thought is that probably most of them have never made any money online, and it probably seems quite unachievable. So I decided to prioritize a feature that I've been thinking about for a while, which was enabling people to like ask for money through their page. So not necessarily a pre-sale of a product, but the way I've phrased it is it's going to be a donation to the product. And I think for free accounts, they'll be able to do it, but it'll be, they'll have to like verify themselves. So they'll have to link up their Twitter. They'll have to verify their email, just so I know they're not complete scammers. And it'll be limited to like $5 per person who visits the page. And then I'll put like an upper limit of how much they can make. So maybe like $30, say. So hopefully it could become a way, like, people, this is where you can make your first dollar online. You pitch your idea, you make the page, and then if people like it, they can donate to you. And the idea of the donation is that they're just sending you a signal to say, I like this idea, but they're treating it as a non-refundable gift to the maker. So there's a bit about the maker, and you link to their Twitter profile. So theoretically, it will be someone you know anyway, you kind of trust. And then the person who's making the page can say, I've earned my first dollar. And it's, you know, it's a higher level of validation. And then for people on the paid plan, perhaps they can increase the donation amount and have a higher limit. So they could potentially pre-sell, because I always thought that was a great feature that Gumroad had, and they took it. So I kind of feel like there's a gap in the market for some kind of pre-sales feature. And yeah, so I've been building that and integrating Stripe, like Connect, which is what you use for marketplaces. It's been not too bad, but I haven't quite finished it off. I'm trying to work out, like, it's still a bit of a faff, because people would have to create a kind of Stripe account just to receive the money, which I guess is kind of part and parcel with being an indie maker. You've got to do it at some point, but it's, I don't know if there's an easier way to do it where they could just have a, like, one of those PayPal links, because everyone has PayPal. But then, yeah, so it is tricky, because I don't really know all the legalities of becoming suddenly a marketplace where money is going through. And I don't know whether I have to update my terms and conditions, but I guess it's the kind of thing where you do it first and then think about that stuff later.
Yeah, no, I mean, that sounds like a really exciting development. And I completely agree that I think it was such a shame that Gumroad removed that pre-sale option to kind of, because I did use that myself actually with a few products. And it, when you were at that idea stage and you were like, should I even do this? Is this, you know, does anyone actually want to do this? You could put it out there and people could, you know, actually put their card details in and commit to say, if you do this, I'll buy it, kind of thing. So I thought it was really powerful. I'm not sure what the reasoning was for getting rid of it, but it does seem to me there would be a real gap there, especially for people who are making their first dollar online. And that may, you know, to me, that does feel like it could be a nice marketing angle as well, you know, to really make that about, you know, make your first dollar online with this,
yeah,
with the app. So I think that could work really nicely. I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes with Stripe Connect. Were you using a plugin, or how were you integrating that with Bubble?
Yeah, I used a paid plugin by Zero Code, which has been fairly easy to do. So that was good. Although, as always, I think their documentation is not very good. But actually, no, it was not too bad for this. But yeah, so I've been using that, and it seems to be okay. It's not too difficult to link up your Stripe account, and then I added the login with Twitter thing so that they can log in and I can pull their like avatar and their bio and stuff like that. So yeah, I haven't fully tested it. It's a bit of a nightmare when you've got your test and live environment and you're trying to test it with the Stripe test cards and things like that.
Mm-hmm. No, but I think if you're thinking that is going to be a feature that is you could potentially end up building out quite a bit, it probably does make sense to go with Stripe Connect, because it seems to be like the de facto one that everyone uses. And I guess the thing about really going for like a true MVP approach in that case, like if you were just letting people put in their own PayPal button or something, that feels like it would be a potentially quite a tricky migration process to get if you then decided, oh, I do actually want Stripe Connect, because you've got kind of some people who be taking payments already through PayPal or pre-orders, and then how does that move on to Stripe? So yeah, I think that does sound like the right idea to me.
Yeah, and I guess Stripe probably do a bit more due diligence. Like I'm very worried about it becoming a platform where people keep getting scammed and then they're like, oh, I never go on yet because it's full of scammers trying to make money. So that's my main worry.
And I think that you kind of have to address that through your kind of acceptable usage policy. And I think, to be honest, for probably even the first 5,000 users, you're going to probably look at every user's page, I would imagine, because it's just interesting to see what people are using it for. So until it got to a scale where you could not physically look at people's pages, I wouldn't worry about that too much, because it's a kind of a nice problem to have in a way, because it means the platform's getting traction and it's you can deal with it then.
Yeah,
but it's one of those things that, you know, that means it's a good product basically if people are using it for that. So it's kind of one of those things you can deal with it at the time and, you know, just trim the accounts and put in more monitoring. But I do think Stripe has some pretty robust fraud monitoring tools you can use as well should you need to, but you probably wouldn't. Like with the first iteration, you kind of wait and see if anyone uses that feature first before you go too kind of into all of the complexities of it.
Yeah, you're right. And I would always advise founders who are worrying about this stuff, like, yeah, worry about it down the road when and if you get to that. So yeah, I should probably take that on myself. I'm afraid I might have to cut this a bit short because I can hear a baby crying downstairs and my wife is out at the moment. But that's, yeah. Not bad timing, actually, 25 minutes. We said we'd keep it short this time.
Yeah, it's like a rapid update, but I think we've pretty much covered everything that we've done in the last 2 weeks. So I think it's a pretty good summary. And it sounds like there's lots going on. So I'm excited to hear what's happened in the next episode.
Yeah, likewise. And as always, I come away from it with a load of ideas of stuff that I should do, thanks to the way you were running things at your end. So that's great. Good to be inspired.
Yeah, no, likewise. It's awesome. That's a big jump as well in MRR since the last call. So, yeah, no, it's exciting times, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. All right, thanks very much, and I'll see you next time.